Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
One of the most disturbing stories to come out of 2021 was the January 6th insurrection in the United States of America. It's a story that changed many people's perception of America as the home of democracy, a country of acceptance, and a country perhaps that has been perceived by many as being the leader in democracy. A lot would disagree with this, and it's brought forward so much conversation. Tomorrow is the anniversary of that fateful day, and I couldn't think of anybody better than to help us make sense of what the Americans must be feeling and what tomorrow symbolizes than J. Brooks Specter. Brooks, welcome to Chai FM.
Good morning. Good to be with you. It was only a day or so ago that I realized it's actually been a full year since those events. It's amazing how quickly time has moved on, or hasn't in some ways.
It's a frightening look at what happened in America. One sees reports coming out from retired generals warning of possible civil war, possible future insurrections. We know that Trump had a speech planned for tomorrow. He's now canceled that. Before we get into the prevailing atmosphere in Washington, D.C. and in the rest of the U.S., I want to know what your opinion was as an American, as an ex-diplomat to Africa and East Asia. What were your thoughts when you saw this unfolding on last year, January 6th?
Well, I like so many other people, I watched it live on international television broadcasts, my initial reaction was stunned astonishment that people would do such a thing. On the other hand, it became quite clear that there were large numbers of people among Republican Party supporters who had either convinced themselves of the truth of a fraudulent election, or allowed themselves to be convinced of this. And the kinds of activities that one saw, scaling the walls of the Capitol building, running through the halls, breaking windows, trying to assault members of Congress with flagpoles and spray cans of what they call bear bait. It became quite clear that this was that there was a kind of large group hysteria about the nature of democracy in the country, and that this represented one of those moments that you look back upon as a true turning point. And what were the other part of it, of course, is that the process of democracy by its very nature continues to move on despite events like this. And so here we are a year later, and there is another midterm election poised to take place in the year 2022 in 10 months and a bit. And the process of picking candidates is already well and truly going on. And that means although Donald Trump is no longer president and has no official positions that he holds, he still has a disproportionate amount of influence within the Republican Party in the picking of candidates. People who support him and his views, as extreme as they may be, get his blessing. And we will know soon enough whether or not a larger number of people will buy into that vision, or will he become one of those figures that we see in the rearview mirror.
Do you think perhaps the American people had become somewhat complacent with the bipartisan system of governance, knowing that every couple of years it's going to be a Democrat, maybe a bit later it's going to be a Republican, laws will come into effect, laws will be repealed, things are going to change, but never change dramatically enough, and that the situation was ripe for an outsider such as Trump to come in and to shake up the system? Do you think that this could be turned into a positive evolution, or do you think it's left a stain on the American democratic legacy?
Well, I think the answer to your question really is both. It's clearly left a mark on the nature of the democratic experiment in the U.S. that is not very pleasant and has an unsavory texture to it. But at the same time, we need to remember that it's not as if the whole thing is caught in amber like an old mosquito. It moves on. Donald, by the year 2024, when the next presidential election takes place, Donald Trump, well, just like Joe Biden, is going to be a pretty old man. And among the Republicans, there are going to be a fair number of people, some of them you may like and some of whom you may roll your eyes at, are going to be maneuvering to say, I'm the future of our party rather than the past. I'm the one you should put your trust in for the year 2024. And among Democrats, there's going to be a fair amount of soul searching about whether or not Joe Biden is the appropriate person to continue for the next 4 years, because he will then, far and away, have become the oldest president, just oldest person to initiate a 4-year term. The nature of the democratic experiment in the U.S. is, I think, less complacent, among people than a certain amount of genuinely felt, how shall I put this, mistrust in the process as a whole, and a lack of conviction that the system genuinely addresses questions that people think are important or are directly related to their own lives. And that's the challenge for any democratic society, that, or any democratic society that wishes to be stable and sustainable, is for the process to make ordinary citizens feel like they are part of a process that meets their needs, their concerns, their issues, and their interests. And in that regard, I think the democratic experiment in the U.S., is facing a kind of midterm exam.
In closing, do you think that somebody like Trump brought together a lot of people from the extreme right who may have been disenchanted with the current bipartisan system, some of them themselves disenchanted with the Republican system, and if they don't see the Republicans moving more to the right, could we see an establishment of a further political movement, something similar to the Tea Party movement?
Well, I'd look at it a different way. I would say that the democratic process in the U.S. has always, since its inception, cast out new ideas about what a political party should be. I remember at the beginning in the 1780s, 1790s, a few years ago, obviously, there were no political parties yet, and political parties were not something that the founders actually thought of as an integral part in the process. They were called factions, and in fact, the original idea was that the process was designed to call forward people who were wise and experienced, but without a sense of party. Over the years, as political parties began, there have been a fair number of experiments to create new parties. The Republican Party, as we know it now, arose out of the anti-slavery movement in the 1850s and only ran successfully for the presidency with Abraham Lincoln in 1860. In the United States, moving further forward, the ideas of a socialist party, as we have come to think of it, gained a fair amount of prominence in the 1910s, 1920s, and much of its ideas and its influence was captured by the Democrats during the Great Depression. So, I mean, third parties don't usually succeed in American democratic practice because of the way it's structured, but they often generate the ideas that what are now the sturdy or stable duopoly of Republicans and Democrats begin to capture, to make use of. And the Tea Party and the Freedom Caucus and whatever other name it goes by is one of those movements that Republicans, more traditional Republicans, have sort of awkwardly embraced in order to try to get a foothold on further consolidations of political power. But make no mistake about it, this is a crisis for the democratic process and the democratic experiment. Can it figure out, and I'm anthropomorphizing it, obviously, can the process figure out a way to accommodate people who truly believe that the Democrats are an inimical force
and still remain
a party?
Well, and on that very important question, I want to thank you for joining us to discuss a very, very important anniversary tomorrow, the anniversary of an insurrection which we never expected in our day and time. J. Brooks Spector, thank you so much for joining us this morning.